Praise the Lord. It's nice to be home. Hallelujah. Sometimes they go away so much you feel disconnected. But it needs to be done. Praise God. We had to be in the Philippines for the graduation of the Christian University there, because I'm a board member of that university and trains the leaders of the Assemblies of God in Asia and the Pacific. So we have a board meeting every March, at the end of March, and the graduation. But this year we celebrated 50 years of the university, and it was great to be there. People from all over the place, and people even from where the church goes underground in communist China and things like that. There were people that came from those countries and to be there, and it was great to be part of that. And there are three Samoan students at the university, and they gave us breakfast every morning. We could have breakfast at the university cafeteria, but they gave us breakfast every morning. Not very good if you're trying to lose weight. So they're the biggest Filipinos there. Hallelujah. But it was nice. Last weekend, I had to be in Samoa because I had to speak at the funeral of the wife of the superintendent of Samoa, the Assemblies of God. And it asked me if I would please come. They're great friends of Fear and I. And so I went across on Saturday and spoke in Apia at the town. And that was a service that went out to the whole nation. So, and then I hopped in the ferry and went across to Savai and spoke at the family service of Milika Amosa, who was the wife of the superintendent. And people from all over the world and her family. Milika is Tongan, and she gave her life to Samoa, and her family came from Tonga. And it was awesome. It was an awesome thing to be there and to be able to minister in that situation. Thank you for your prayers. Pastor Fia couldn't come with me. She was speaking at a retreat out in the hills at the back blocks of the Kawatau Valley. But she came over on Sunday. Milika and Fia were very, very close, and she just wanted to be there. We brought her body back into Apia, and she's buried at their family plot in Apia. But it was great. Thank you for praying for us. In between all that, we tried to fast because we are on a 21 day of prayer and fasting. Praise God. And so you eat pretty fast so that you can fast. And praise the Lord. Bridget and Toby, stand up, please. Give them a great hand. Hallelujah. They just got married a few weeks ago. Hey. So congratulate them at the end of the service. Give them a big hug and hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Pastor Andrew has been ministering to you on the kingdom. Some of the characteristics of the kingdom, and he will probably continue that until he finishes. My purpose is try to get your mind to change. The Bible says you are transformed not by the removal of your mind, but the renewal of your minds. And when the Bible says repent, is the word metanoia, which means change your mind. Change how you think. And it says, repent because the kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. It's upon us. And we need to think like kingdom people. We are born in a country that is a democracy, but it was a country that was a colony of a kingdom. And if you could just understand that would be great. Now, need to understand this. There's no perfect kingdom on the planet. There's only one kingdom that's perfect. It's His kingdom. There's no perfect king. So our illustrations fall far short Because many times kings are not so very nice. But we still need to understand what a king is and what a kingdom is to give us a perspective of who we really are in God's purposes. Are you all right? Now, a king is not the same as a president. Now, the president may rule the U.S., but the president is not a king. A prime minister is not a king. In fact, the president and the prime minister are the total opposite of a king. Why? Because you can vote for the prime minister, but you can't vote for a king. You can vote for the president, and after his term, you can vote another president in, but you can't keep voting a king in. Are you all right? And the Bible is about a king and a kingdom. The parables of the Bible are the parables of the kingdom. The good news of the scriptures is the good news of the kingdom. Jesus said, when you pray, pray that the kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. So you need to think like a kingdom person so that you may understand what we're trying to convey. Are you okay? Say amen. And Pastor Andrew would have talked to you about everything in the kingdom increases. The power of the kingdom is in the anointing and in the giftings, the anointing function by the giftings. Hallelujah. Are you okay? You're right with that? Now, Jesus said something. He said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, then the kingdom of God is upon you. But every time you cast out demons, you are operating and demonstrating the power and the authority of the kingdom. If you can't cast out devils, there's something wrong with your understanding of the kingdom. And there are devils who don't go out. This one does not come out except by prayer and fasting. Not prayer, not fasting, but prayer and fasting. Are you okay? Say amen. Now, a king is born. Just to let you know that a king is not voted in by election. A king is actually born. The king's authority, the authority of the president, and the authority of the prime minister is given to them by who? The people that voted for them. The people in a kingdom don't give the king authority. The king has authority inherent in him because he is the king. And whatever the king says becomes the constitution of the kingdom. In a democracy, there are checks and balances, and we can tell the prime minister when he goes overboard to bring him back in. You can't tell a king to bring him back in. The king can do whatever the king wants to do. Why? Because he's born a king, and his authority and power is inherited in the fact that he is a king. Hallelujah. Now, when a king is born, he does not know he's a king. He's a baby. He does not know he's a king. He's a baby. He's just like any other baby. He could be born in the hospital, but he's just a baby. And he could be like the friend of any other baby. Are you all right? Listen to me. Some of you, your inferiority complex will disappear if you listen. Why? Because many of us are trying to look for who am I? And when God tells you you're my child, you don't even believe that. If you believe that, you'll live like one. Are you all right? Say amen. So what they do, and they did that in the Bible, and they still do that to an extent today. What they do, when a baby is born and he's a royal child, he's not raised by his mother. He's raised by tutors. Are you all right? You read Galatians 4 lately? An heir has power and authority over his domain, but when he's a baby, he is trained by tutors as though he is a slave. So he is subject to the tutors as he grows up, and the tutors will tell him who he is. And even though that baby could hardly eat by himself, if they feed him and spoon feed him, they will call him Your Majesty. Is that right? Talk to me. Is that right? They will call him Your Majesty. And if a man twice his age or 50 times his age, he's just a little kid, 4 years old. And if Mr. Northover walks in, he will call that little kid Master. Are you all right? And it doesn't matter who walks into his presence, they address him because he's a king. Now, this is drummed into him, and the Bible says, one day, his father is going to release him from under the tutors, and he takes his rightful place, and from then on, he rules. Are you all right? Now, to belong to a kingdom, you're not a member of a kingdom. You have to be what? How do you get there? You have to be born. And when Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, how do I enter the kingdom? Jesus said, you have to be born. You have to be born again. He said, how can I enter my mother's womb? Just like most of us will think, because we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, because we are transformed not by its removal, but its renewal. And you need to repent and renew your thinking so that you can think like a kingdom child of the king. Hallelujah. Are you all right? And what you need to do, and that's why we drum stuff into you over and 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 over again. Because the currency of the kingdom is what? And faith comes by what? Hearing, 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 hearing. It doesn't come by having heard. You say, well, I heard that. That's dumb. You don't get faith by having heard. You get faith by hearing. It's present, continuous, tense, and you need to know the constitution that your father put in place, because the Bible is the constitution of the kingdom, and you need to know that and drummed into you over and over and over and over again. Don't just leave church angry. You need to know who you are. Those that know their God shall be and do exploit. But it comes by you knowing who you are. Are you all right? Say amen. So when that kid is now 12, 15 years old, he knows who he is. Why? Because all his life, it's been drummed into him. This is who you are. Now, when you're born again, you're not born of the will of man or the will of the flesh. You're born of the will of... Now, a lot of people say, well, I'm a Maori. The moment you're born again, God, the king, in essence, cancel your father. Just get that into your head. It doesn't kill him or cancel him. It's not, doesn't. But it says, from now on, you're born out of the inside of God, and you are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, why does God call himself King of Kings? Who's the other kings? Exactly right. See, right from the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, he said, I will give you dominion. What is dominion? It's a king taking authority over his domain. You have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. You're not to dominate others, but you're to dominate the elements because God has made you a king. Now, you are created in the image of, with all his authority and power and faith, that's how you are created. And when you're born again, you're born out of the insides of God. And you need to read the constitution that your father put in place so that you will know the things that pertain to who you are. You don't have to go through life without a job. On the other hand, when you find your work, and if your work and your job are the same, it's amazing. Are you all right? So you need to know who you are in God. And part of the mentoring class is that those children may know who they are. You'll not find another church in the country that has a mentoring class. If you don't turn up, you're an idiot. Why? Because you are instructed to know who you are and to know what you can do. I can do. How come you can do that? Because you're a child of the King that can do anything, and I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. Are you all right? Now, people are bound by where they come from. Well, I was raised with the Kumras and the rats. Well, eat the Kumras and kill the rats. And it sometimes when those that know their authority in God, when they walk into a place, they really intimidate you. So who are you? What's wrong? It's just that they know who they are. You just have to go and discover it for yourself. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Now, Jesus said something very peculiar. He said, birds have nests. What else? Foxes have holes. Well, the Son of Man has nowhere to put his head. That's an amazing thing to say. Why? Because a king, it does not matter where he lives. Are you all right? If, who was the guy that used to teach at the collegiate? Prince Edwards. If Prince Edwards comes and lives at 77 Surrey Road, what does Surrey Road become? A palace. He may live in a shack. That shack becomes a palace. The shack becomes a royal shack. It doesn't matter what yacht he gets in. The yacht becomes a royal yacht. It doesn't matter whether he gets in a plane. The plane becomes a royal plane. Why? Because the king his authority and his influence, his nature is inherent in him, not where he lives, but where he lives become a domain where his influence is spread. So it does not matter whether you're Maori, Pākehā, Samoan, Tongan, bald or hairy. When you're born in the kingdom, as many as received him, to them he gives the power to become the sons and the daughters of God. You become born again and you're born into a kingdom that knows no end. If I can just get your head to adjust. That you might know who you are and the things that God has provided for you that pertains to your salvation. Hallelujah. The Bible says we are fearfully. Now, we just read that. How can God be fearful when he made you? When God made you, he was afraid. Why? He made you fearfully. He was looking to see that nothing is absent from you. The capacity that God has got for you, you will never ever know. Now, many of you would have seen a video or video clip or read a book about the young Australian guy, Nick, what's his name? He's got no arms and no legs. If you meet that guy, he will intimidate the living daylights out of you. Why? Because he knows who he is. No arms, no legs. So don't tell me, well, what about so-and-so that didn't have any arms? God, when God made that boy, he was made fearfully and wonderfully. That boy is more whole than most of the people here. Hallelujah. You know what they say? That the human being only uses 1/7 of his brain. That means the other 90, the sixth, seventh of your brain is not used. So you have a capacity that you will never use. That does not mean it can't be used. I've got a XR6. It can do 180 kilometers an hour. You can repaint that car. It does not change its potential. Whether you drive at 180 or drive at 30, that car's potential is still 180. Whether you use it or not, the potential of the car is still 180. Now, many of us just drive at 50. And you are impressed at somebody that passes you doing 60. When you can do 180, and your car will be sold and resold, it can still do 180. Why? Because if you talk to the manufacturer will tell you that thing can do 180. I've never done. Doesn't matter. Well, it doesn't matter. It still does 180. That's its potential. You know what? You are made with a potential. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And when God made you, he looked at it and he wondered. And many of us never touch remotely the potential that we have. There are children who go to school, never get a degree when they could have got a PhD. They never use their brains. They just muck around with their cell phone and their iPads and their laptops with their friends. When you can do 180 miles an hour, you die at 33. Because that's all. You know, and people don't want to move out of their comfort zone. You know, it's comfortable to drive at 100. But you can drive at 180. Now, why can't you do that in the car? Because the government restricts you. But that doesn't mean the car can't do it. And there are people who will restrict you. There are people who will tell you can't do it. I had a young couple come to me, and their daughter wanted to be a doctor. And they are Maori couple. And when they went to the tutor said, well, she can't do it because she's Maori. That girl now is living with a partner, got three kids. Somebody told her she can't do it because of the color of her skin or the race that she comes from. And many people never find their potential because some dingbat tell them you can't do it. And sometimes our own families tell us we can't do it. Are you all right? Met a man in Christchurch. Came from Holland. Arrived in New Zealand. Does not speak English. Had £5 in his pocket. All he had. Strange country. Can't speak the lingo of the country. So what he did, he went to night classes to learn English. When he arrived, he was 37 years old. So he literally began at 37. When I met him, he was the head of the electronics department at the Christchurch Polytechnic. Very, 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 very sharp. Started at 37 with £5. Became the head of a department in a very, very reputable polytechnic. But he started at 37. Many people, well, I'm 37. I can't start now. Who said that? The only person who can stop you is you. And if you listen to your friends, you will never make it. You'll live and die with untapped potential. Many of you know what I'm talking about, and many of you are satisfied driving at 33 k's an hour when you could be doing 180. Went to the graduation of Canterbury University. I was speaking there. Old girl. I saw her. I said, what's she doing here? She was graduating with a master's degree. I thought, that's an old Samoan girl. How can an old Samoan housewife in that generation get a master's degree? Obviously, she decided to go. And obviously, it was still already in her. It's still already, the kingdom is in you. The authority of that kingdom is in you. You are born into that kingdom by the power and the grace of God. It is up to you. But you need to change how you think. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Now, there's a man in Fielding. If you listen to this tape, he will know I'm talking about him. I won't tell you his name, but he'll know if you listen to the tape. God called that man to be a pastor. That man will die and never pastor a church. He's probably afraid, I don't know. But I wasn't the first one that noticed that, and I wasn't the first one that spoke about that. Many that know, everyone that knows him knows that he should pastor a church. But he's not pastoring a church. He's fencing. That man is going to answer to God for the call that God gave into his heart. Does him becoming a fencer negate the fact that he's called to be a pastor in the flock of God? I'm asking a question. No. Now, let me tell you something. You know Paul the Apostle? He was a murderer, but the apostolic calling was still inside. The apostolic calling was still inside, and he was going around murdering people. And when he came to the kingdom, he said, I was separated to this purpose from birth. Now, how come from birth he was already separated, but he was still killing people? There are drug addicts. Your rebellious kids have something in them from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They may not know it, but it's still there. And it's a potential that will be untapped until they say, yes, Lord. Can I have those ministering the emblems? Now, we're going to have communion. Many of you, when you stand to have communion, need to say to God, God, I want this potential to be realized. Hallelujah. So holy emblems, will eat and drink together. This is the word of the King. We allow so many things in our democratic world because we vote them in. We even have people that are church ministers that vote for things that the constitution of the kingdom disallows. Why do clergy vote against the constitution of the kingdom? Simple answer is, they are not in the kingdom. This constitution is so powerful that Jesus said he will move heaven and move earth so that a dot and a jot of this constitution will never be touched. You have more authority than you think. You have more love than you think. You have more faith than you think. You just need to dare the elements and get up and do it. Hallelujah. We shared a few Sundays back about death. One of the things we said is death is the departure of the Holy Spirit from your spirit. And when the Holy Spirit departs from your spirit, you can be the best athlete in the country. You're dead. Adam died the day that he ate the tree, but he physically lived for 930 years. Physically lived, but he died. He died the day he ate the tree. God said to Adam, the day you eat of the fruit of that tree, you shall surely die. And when Adam ate, he died. Even though he lived for 930 years. There are people that are dead that are very successful because the Spirit of God is not in their spirit, but they're still dead. You may be the beauty queen of the world. You don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're dead. The second thing that we said is death is when your spirit leaves your body. When your spirit leaves your body, I don't care what they do, you're dead. Be the most powerful person on the planet, when your spirit leaves your body, you're dead. Most good-looking kid in the planet, when your spirit leaves your body, they will kiss a carcass. Why? Because you're dead. When the spirit leaves your body, whether you're Maori or Samoan, European, educated or not, you're dead. And we said, death is when you leave or you leave the presence of God. Hallelujah. Question is, did that happen to Jesus on the cross? Did the Holy Spirit leave Jesus? You know when he said, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? When the Father and the Holy Ghost walked away, hallelujah, not only did they walk away, Jesus was left alone. Not the presence of God, not God the Father, not the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine what it's like to be in that place? Even right now, a place where God is not at. Why did that happen to Jesus? So that it will never, ever happen to you. Even the people that take their own lives, God is still there trying to turn them. Hallelujah. Jesus went through the three deaths so that you and I will never be forsaken. You and I will never ever die. Hallelujah. Those that live for Christ, though they're dead, they still live. Death becomes a blessing. Why? Because you have to die. Otherwise, you'll never get your resurrected body. Can't go to heaven in that thing. You have to die so that when God resurrects you, give you a body that will never die. The king died, that the kings may live. If you're one that has been driving 33 km when you could have been doing 180, as you partake of communion, say to the Lord God, open the eyes of my understanding I may know the greatness of the inheritance you've given for me. And help me not to go to the grave with my potential. Help me to empty my potential to my generation and go to the grave empty. Don't go to the grave full. Bible says Jesus emptied his soul. Why? For you and I. Empty your potential before you die. Live for God. Give him your all. Father, we thank you today. Help us to live, even as you said, Lord. You live unto the Lord. You die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, we belong to him that we call Lord, Master and King of our lives. Bless these emblems today as we partake with our dedication afresh to move, Lord God, into areas unknown to us, even as they were unknown to the Apostle Paul, that when he turned in 65, 68 years of ministry, did more for your cause than the church has done in 2,000 years. As he lived for his potential, he lived to his potential, and he declared at the end of his life, I run the race, I've kept the faith, I've poured out my life as a drink offering unto thee. Father, bless us today as we eat and drink. Wash us from our sin. Cleanse us by the power of your blood. And help us to live as kingdom children of the King. We honor you today. You're a good God to us. In Jesus' name. Let's eat and drink together. And after that, you go find somebody to minister to. Bless them in the name of the Lord. Pray for somebody. Lay hands on somebody. Hallelujah.